three predictions from the Lord himself that he must suffer, die, be buried, and be raised on the third day. And what an exciting thing, we'll share that. And then there were three raisings of the dead that Jesus did to foreshadow his own being raised from the dead. So we'll cover those as well. So we'll be here about 2.5 hours. No, I'm sorry. And I'm the other Sheehan, so, you know, got to fill in. Let's go over the first one, and, of course, the importance, and we'll go to Luke chapter 3, very familiar to all of us, when Jesus came forward to be baptized in the Holy Spirit. John, his cousin, of course, was baptizing people in water for the forgiveness and repentance of sin. And, of course, he said, I baptize you with water, but one that I'm not even worthy to undo the thong on his sandal, he will come and he will baptize you with the Holy Spirit and fire. And so when Jesus comes forward to his cousin to be baptized in the Holy Spirit, it wasn't for the forgiveness of sin because he had no sin, but he also fulfilled the law as an example to us. And so it says here, when all the people were being baptized, Jesus was baptized too. And then here's the first declaration of God the Father to his Son, because after 4,000 years of human history, all of the prophets and all the old covenant were all pointing to Jesus coming, and he would be the savior of all mankind. And so it says, as Jesus was being baptized, as he was praying, the heaven was opened, and the Holy Spirit descended on him in bodily form like a dove. And a voice from heaven came, you are my son, whom I'm loved. With you, I am well pleased. So he's beginning his ministry. And of course, all those years of preparation, being in the house with Joseph and Mary. And we know that Joseph died sometime before Jesus entered his public ministry, because every time he mentioned the Father, they knew he was talking about his Father in heaven and not his substitute Father here on earth, as Joseph cared for him. So one of the most important things is Philippians chapter 2, verses 6 to 11. This is absolutely incredible. He who was seated at the right hand of the Father in the fullness of time left heaven and came down on this earth and became a man, yet without sin. But he emptied himself of his Godhead, which means he could have done anything he wanted to do. But as it says in Philippians, one of my favorite scriptures, said he emptied himself of his Godhead, took on the nature of man and a servant. He humbled himself and became obedient to death, even death on a cross. Therefore, God exalted him and gave him the name that is above every name, that at the name of Jesus, every knee will bow, every tongue will confess, not only on the earth, but in heaven and also under the earth. So it covers even demonic situations as well, of course. And it says, what a beautiful thing. And every tongue shall confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father. The importance of this is knowing that we can have the same Spirit, the Holy Spirit, come and live in us, that we can not only be born again when we accept him and all that he did for us on the cross, but that we can have the same anointing of the Holy Spirit that Jesus had. That's just overwhelming to me. and to see all that he said and all that he did, that we can move in the same power that he has, the power and the baptism of the Holy Spirit. Just incredible. Isaiah chapter 53, of course, one of the amazing prophecies in the Old Testament that Jesus would come as a suffering servant. It says, it was the Father's will, listen to this, amazing, to crush him and cause him to suffer. He took our infirmities and carried our sorrows. His punishment brought us peace. Pierced for our own transgressions, and by his stripes we are healed. He poured out his life unto death, even death on a cross. As the Father said, my righteous servant shall justify many. So that prophecy in Isaiah, what an incredible prophecy. And we'll see that as we continue on. The second time God the Father spoke directly to his son to confirm his ministry, and of course, as a blessing to him, is at the Mount of Transfiguration. So Matthew 17, we'll go there briefly. Verses 1 to 9. After 6 days, Jesus took with him Peter, James, and John, the brother of James, and led them up a high mountain by themselves. So they were being personally trained, of course. There he was transfigured before them. His face shone like the sun, and his clothes became as white as the light. Just then there appeared before them, this was a vision given to them, of Moses and Elijah talking with Jesus. Peter said to Jesus, Lord, it is good for us to be here. If you wish, I will put up 3 shelters, one for you, one for Moses, and one for Elijah. While he was still speaking, a bright cloud enveloped them, and a voice from the cloud said, this is my son, whom I love. With him I am well pleased. Listen to him. So we see, when the disciples heard this, they fell down to the ground terrified. But Jesus came and touched them. Get up, he said. Don't be afraid. When they looked up, they saw no one except Jesus. So Moses and Elijah represented the entire Old Testament for the foretelling of Jesus coming. And, of course, Moses represented the law, and Elijah represented the prophets, and we see that now the Savior has come in person to save all mankind. And then the next time that the Father spoke was in John 12, 27. And Jesus said, now my heart is troubled. What shall I say? Father, save me from this hour, as he knew he was to go to Jerusalem. And on that Passover, he was to offer himself. And of course, he would be the Lamb of God, who was the only one that could take on all the sins of the world. And of course, it says, no, it was for this very reason that I came to this hour. Father, glorify your name. Then a voice came from heaven. I have glorified it, and I will glorify it again. The crowd that was there and heard it said it had thundered. Others said an angel had spoken to him. Jesus said, this voice was for your benefit, not mine. Now is the time for judgment on this world. Now the prince of this world will be driven out, the enemy, Satan. But when I am lifted up from the earth, I will draw all men unto me. He said this to show the kind of death he was going to die. Praise God. His mission and ministry. And then we're going to see the three predictions that Jesus gave that he would, as he was training the disciples, he was now starting to bring them in to say, my purpose here is that I am called to suffer, to be crucified, to die, to be buried, and on the third day to be raised again from the dead. So we're going to see these three predictions. The first one is in Matthew 16, verse 13 to 21. And this is very interesting because just before that, we'll see what happens. It says, when Jesus came to the region of Caesarea Philippi, he asked his disciples, who do people say the Son of Man is? And they replied, some say John the Baptist, others say Elijah, and still others Jeremiah or one of the prophets. But what about you, he asked them. Who do you say that I am? As he's training them and he's identifying himself to them. And this was a spontaneous response by Peter. Simon Peter answered, you are the Christ, the Son of the living God. And that was by revelation. And we'll see the following as Jesus said. Jesus replied, blessed are you, Simon, son of Jonah, for this was not revealed to you by man, but by my Father in heaven. And I tell you that you are Peter, and on this rock, your confession of faith, I will build my church, and the gates of hell will not overcome it. I will give you the keys of the kingdom of heaven. Whatever you bind on earth will be bound in heaven. Whatever you loose on earth will be loosed in heaven. Then he warned his disciples not to tell anyone that he was the Christ, because it wasn't time yet. Very interesting. And we see good old Peter. He just spoke out what he thought, right? And he was such a human being. It's kind of a blessing to see that. But here after that marvelous revelation by the Holy Spirit of who Jesus is, it says, from that time on, Jesus began to explain to his disciples that he must, and here's the prediction, he must go to Jerusalem and suffer many things at the hands of the elders, the chief priests, and the teachers of the law, and that he must be killed and on the third day raised to life. So there's his first prediction of what his ministry and his mission is. And after Peter declares by revelation that he's the Christ, the Son of the living God, guess what he says now? Oh, because he loved Jesus so much, he didn't want him to die. He didn't understand. Peter took him aside and began to rebuke him. Perish the thought, Lord, he said. This shall never happen to you. it's really comical. Jesus turned and said to Peter, out of my sight, Satan. You 1 minute you spoke by revelation of God, and the next minute you spoke under your own human nature and under the attack of the enemy to say, oh no, I don't want you to die, so, but that's my whole mission in my ministry. I just declared that to you. It says, out of my sight, Satan, you are a stumbling block to me. You do not have in mind the things of God, but the things of men. And when Jesus was interesting, when Jesus was praying in the Garden of Gethsemane, and the elders and the Pharisees and the Sanhedrin all came to arrest him, he was in prayer, and it said he in John that he took on such anguish over knowing he was going to be arrested, he was going to be tried, he was going to be brought before the Sanhedrin, he was going to be brought before Pilate, and on that Passover day he was going to be beaten with 39 stripes. If you've ever seen The Passion of the Christ that Mel Gibson did, outstanding, and one of the things that touched me so much was when he was getting the 39 stripes halfway through, and Jesus was in good shape, of course, because he was a young man and worked with his father, substitute stepfather as a carpenter, he fell down on his knees, but it wasn't fulfilled yet. And he pulled himself back up to take all 39 stripes. They said, if you get 40 stripes, you're dead. And then, of course, later on, he was able to even carry his own cross. Just absolutely amazing. And Matthew chapter 17, verse 22, is the second prediction that he must suffer, that he must be flogged, that he must be crucified, die, be buried, but raised again on the third day. So verse 22, when they came together in Galilee, he said to them, the Son of Man is going to be betrayed into the hands of men. They will kill him, and on the third day he will be raised to life. And the disciples were filled with grief. So you can begin to see they still had to have that understanding of what his mission and his ministry was. And the third prediction that Jesus must suffer, die, be buried, and be raised again is Matthew 20, verses 17 to 19. Now, as Jesus was going up to Jerusalem, and he took the 12 disciples aside and said to them, we are going up to Jerusalem, and the Son of Man will be betrayed to the chief priests and the teachers of the law. They will condemn him to death and will turn him over to the Gentiles to be mocked, flogged, and crucified. And on the third day, he will be raised from the dead. Praise God. And then we're going to see three raisings of the dead that Jesus did. And to prefigure, of course, that he himself would be raised from the dead on the third day, on the feast of Passover, as the Passover lamb, as the Messiah, as Jesus, the Savior of all mankind. And of course, we know that the greatest event in human history was when Jesus rose from the dead. And he promises that to us. So it's just absolutely amazing. The first one is Jairus' daughter, and that's in Mark 5, verses 21 to 43. So we'll go to Mark 5. And I gave this message last year, but I wanted to give it again. And that's what I'm doing. Because Pastor isn't here, so. he says, he called me last night and just said, have a great service and wake them all up. Warm them all up and make them all up, right? Wake them all up and warm them all up. Okay. And Mark chapter 5, verse 21. This is absolutely amazing. And, of course, if you were here last year, I labeled these. This one is freshly dead because of the timetable. When we get to the widow Nain's son, we'll talk about that, and then we'll end up with the, that was stale dead, and then, of course, Lazarus was in the tomb for 4 days, and I used to work in a cemetery, and I've dug graves, and I've been in charge of the mausoleum, and so Lazarus was dead. So we got freshly dead, stale dead, and dead. So the Lord knows how to cover it all, right? Okay. Hope I don't get struck with lightning. No, no, on. Okay. When Jesus had again crossed over by the boat to the other side of the lake, a large crowd gathered around him. While he was by the lake, one of the synagogue rulers named Jairus came there. Very interesting. The synagogue ruler came. Seeing Jesus, he fell at his feet and pleaded earnestly with him. My little daughter is dying. Please come and put your hands on her so that she will be healed and live. So Jesus went with him. What an amazing faith. A large crowd followed and pressed around him. You can imagine after that kind of an announcement. And a woman who was there who had been subject to bleeding for 12 years, and this is while Jesus is on the way to Jairus' house, she had suffered a great deal under care of many doctors and had spent all that she had, yet instead of getting better, she grew worse. When she heard about Jesus, she came up behind him in the crowd and touched his cloak, because she thought, if I just touch his clothes, I will be healed. Immediately, her bleeding stopped, and she felt in her body that she was freed from her suffering. And at once, Jesus realized that power had gone out for him. He turned around in the crowd and asked, who touched my clothes? You see the people crowding around you, his disciples answered, and yet you ask, who touched me? But Jesus kept looking around to see who had done it. Then the woman, knowing what had happened to her, came and fell at his feet, trembling with fear, and told the whole truth. He said to her, daughter, your faith has healed you. Go in peace and be freed from your suffering. Every manner of sickness and disease, Jesus overcame sin, sickness and disease, Satan and demon powers. Just while Jesus was still speaking, some men came from the house of Jairus, the synagogue ruler. Your daughter is dead, they said. Why bother the teacher anymore? Ignoring what they said, Jesus told the synagogue ruler, don't be afraid, just believe. Wow. He did not let anyone follow him except Peter, James, and John. And when they came to the home of the synagogue ruler, Jesus saw a commotion with people crying and wailing loudly. He went in and said to them, why all this commotion and wailing? The child is not dead but asleep. But they laughed at him. After he put them all out, all the unbelievers, he took the child's father and mother and the disciples who were with him, went in where the child was. He took her by the hand and said to her, Talitha kum, which means, little girl, I say to you, get up. She stood right up and walked around. She was 12 years old. At this, they were completely astonished. He gave strict orders not to let anyone know about this and told them to give her something to eat. So there we see the first raising of the dead. And you can imagine being the disciples and witnessing this. Wow, absolutely amazing. And the second one, of course, is the widow Nain's son, Luke 7, 11 to 17. The compassion that Jesus had, and not only touching people's lives, but also declaring his mission and his ministry. So in verse 11, soon afterward, Jesus went to a town called Nain, and his disciples and a large crowd went along with him. As he approached the town gate, a dead person was being carried out, the only son of his mother. So here she's a widow, and this is her only son, and he's dead. And a large crowd from the town was with her. When the Lord saw her, his heart went out to her, and he said, "Don't cry." Then he went up and touched the coffin, which, of course, makes you unclean if you're a Jew. And, of course, Jesus did what he was told by the Father, and, of course, he touched the coffin, and those carrying it stood still. I can imagine. What are you doing? "Young man, I say to you, get up." The dead man sat up and began to talk, and Jesus gave him back to his mother. They were all filled with awe and praised God. "A great prophet has appeared among us," they said. "God has come to help his people." The news about Jesus spread throughout Judea and the surrounding countryside. So that's stale. So we got that, right? You'll get a quiz afterward. Oh, okay. And of course, dead, John chapter 11. Oh boy, this is amazing. We weren't told if Lazarus was the only one in that tomb when Jesus called him out. With my sense of humor, though, if there were other bodies in there, and Jesus just said, "Come out," they all would have come out. But of course, he called Lazarus by name specifically. And I love that when we get to it, how he walked out with all of the strips and all of the perfume around him, and even his face cloth was still on him. And he comes alive. 4 days dead in the tomb. Amazing. Now, a man named Lazarus was sick. You know this story. He was from Bethany, the village of Mary and her sister Martha. Of course, they were the closest friends to Jesus. This Mary, whose brother Lazarus now lay sick, was the same one who poured perfume on the Lord and wiped his feet with her hair, preparing him to go forth and be crucified, died, and be buried. So the sister sent word to Jesus, "Lord, the one you love is sick." When he heard this, Jesus said, "This sickness will not end in death. No, it is for God's glory, so that God's Son may be glorified through it." Jesus loved Martha and her sister and Lazarus. Yet when he heard that Lazarus was sick, he stayed there 2 more days. So you ever notice it always seems like at the last minute God comes through? Never in our timetable, right? Never early. Oh, well. Then he said to his disciples, "Let's go back to Judea." And I would have said, "Hey, wait a minute. We've got to get over there. What's going to happen?" "But Rabbi," they said, "a short while ago the Jews tried to stone you, and yet you want to go back there." Jesus answered, "Are there not 12 hours of daylight? A man who walks by day will not stumble, for he sees by the world's light. It is when he walks by night that he stumbles, for he has no light." Of course, Jesus is the light of the world. After he'd said this, he went on to tell them, "Our friend Lazarus has fallen asleep, but I am going there to wake him up." His disciples replied, "Lord, if he sleeps, he will get better." Jesus had been speaking of his death, but his disciples thought he meant natural sleep. So then he told them plainly, Lazarus is dead, and the Lord wasn't in any hurry. Isn't that amazing? Yet for your sake, so that you may believe, I am glad I was not there, but let us go to him. I would have said, what do you want to go to him for now? He's dead. He's been dead for 4 days in the tomb. Wow. Then Thomas, called Didymus, said to the rest of the disciples, let us also go that we may die with him. On his arrival, Jesus found that Lazarus had already been in the tomb for 4 days. Bethany was less than 2 miles from Jerusalem, and many Jews had come to Martha and Mary to comfort them in the loss of their brother. When Martha heard that Jesus was coming, she went out to meet him, but Mary stayed at home. Lord, Martha said to Jesus, if you had been here, my brother would not have died. But I know that even now God will give you whatever you ask. And she wasn't even thinking that he would do this, right? Jesus said to her, your brother will rise again. And Martha answered, I know he will rise again in the resurrection on the last day. And Jesus said to her, famous words, I am the resurrection and the life. He who believes in me, even though he dies, shall live. And whoever lives and believes in me shall never die. What an outstanding scripture. Do you believe this? Wow. Yes, Lord, she told him, I believe that you are the Christ, the Son of God, who has come into the world. And after he had said this, she went back and called her sister Mary aside. The teacher is here and is asking for you. When Mary heard this, she got up quickly and went to him. Now Jesus had not yet entered the village, but was still at the place where Martha had met him. When the Jews who had been with Mary in the house comforting her noticed how quickly she got up and went out, they followed her, supposing she was going to the tomb to mourn there. When Mary reached the place where Jesus was and saw him, she fell at his feet and said, Lord, if you had been here, my brother would not have died. When Jesus saw her weeping and the Jews who had come along also weeping, he was deeply moved and troubled. Where have you laid him? He said. Come and see, Lord, they replied. Then the shortest verse in the Bible, Jesus wept. That's how much he loved him. Then the Jews said, see how he loved him? But some of them said, could not he who opened the eyes of the blind have kept this man from dying? Well, he could have, but that wasn't the plan of God the Father. Jesus, once more deeply moved, came to the tomb. It was a cave with a stone laid across the entrance. Take away the stone, he said. But Lord, said Martha, even after asking all of this, right? The sister of the dead man, Martha, said, By this time there is a bad odor, for he has been there for 4 days. Well, we're so human, aren't we? Oh, hey, wait a minute, you're going to raise him from the dead? Oh, man, even opening the tomb's going to leave a stench. Then Jesus said, did I not tell you, if you believed, you would see the glory of God? So they took away the stone. Then Jesus looked up and said, Father, I thank you that you have heard me. I knew that you always hear me, but I said this for the benefit of the people standing here, that they may believe that you sent me. Sent me to be the savior of the entire world, to suffer for the sins of all mankind. Can't even imagine that kind of pain. Just our own human pain, but to have Jesus carry all pain, all penalty, all judgment against us, just beyond our understanding. When he had said this, Jesus cried out in a loud voice, "Lazarus, come out!" The dead man came out, his hands and feet wrapped with strips of linen and a cloth around his face. So you can imagine him stumbling out. He was wrapped up. He couldn't even take the face cloth off, right? And then it says, Jesus said to them, "Take off the grave clothes and let him go." And then we go all the way when Jesus is placed in the tomb and all of the perfume and the strips of linen that were gathered around him. And when they went to the tomb, all of that was there in place, kind of sunken down, so they could tell there was a body in there. And then the face cloth was neatly folded. Isn't that exciting? And then you see the other one with Lazarus. Oh, praise God. So we see the purpose of God the Father to send his one and only Son, who emptied himself of his Godhead. Right after he was baptized in the Holy Spirit in Luke chapter 3, very interesting, when the devil came to tempt him after he went off, before he started his public ministry, he went into the wilderness to fast for 40 days and 40 nights. And of course, it says it wasn't until his fast was up that he came out of the desert and he was hungry. And the enemy was there. He was tempted by the devil. He ate nothing during those days, and at the end of them, he was hungry. And the devil said to him, this is so fascinating, three times in a row, "If you are the Son of God, tell this stone to become bread." He was tempting Jesus because he was kicked out of heaven and he knew the authority that Jesus had in heaven. And now he was trying to get him to not operate under the Holy Spirit, but to operate in his Godhead, which would have been wrong and it would have been a sin. Isn't that interesting? And so Jesus replied back, quoting scripture. He said, "It is written, man does not live on bread alone." So he quoted Deuteronomy back to the enemy. The devil then led him up to a high place and showed him in an instant all the kingdoms of the world, because he was allowed to be king over the earth. And he said to him, "I will give you all their authority and splendor, for it has been given to me, and I can give it to anyone I want. So if you worship me, it will be all yours." And Jesus answered, of course, out of Deuteronomy again, "It is written, worship the Lord your God and serve him only." So he quotes Deuteronomy again. The devil then led him to Jerusalem and had him stand up on the highest point of the temple. "If you are the Son of God," he said, "throw yourself down from here. For it is written, he will command his angels concerning you to guard you carefully, and they will lift you up in their hands so that you will not strike your foot against a stone." And Jesus answered, it says, "Do not put the Lord your God to the test." The only other time it says Satan left him until an opportune time. And the next opportune time was when Jesus was praying in the Garden of Gethsemane, when he knew he was going to be arrested and all of the disciples had fallen asleep. And John says, he was so anguished that it was as he was sweating blood. And of course, he says, "Father, let this cup pass from me." It was so intense. But he said, "Not my will, but your will." And that's when the Father said, "I've glorified you, and I will glorify you again." Praise God. So he covered every area of body, soul, and spirit in those temptations and taught us how to do that. What's so amazing is we have the privilege of the anointing of the Holy Spirit in our lives, and that God can do any of the things that he did through us. And we're praying for that as we so desperately need a revival in our country. Every time I watch the news, I have to turn it off. I get so upset. And now I always remember to the politicians especially, your knee's going to bow. Your tongue's going to confess that Jesus Christ is Lord to the glory of God the Father. So take that, all of you. Oh, my goodness gracious. There's such pride and arrogance and deception and lying. It is so demonic. And instead of being servants to us and representing us, they're using us to lift up their own pride and to make money. So that's the only way I can get through the news. Every knee shall bow, every tongue shall confess that Jesus Christ is Lord. Praise God. The three declarations of the Father to Jesus, the three predictions that he must suffer, be crucified, died, be buried, and rise again. And I love it how it says that many Jews who, before Jesus died and rose, were following after Jesus because of Lazarus being raised from the dead. I think that would get, even on CNN, it should be reported. Oh, I'm sorry. What an amazing thing to have happen. So, Lord, we just thank you for this Easter season that we're entering into.